It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, where you can go and get the archives of this and send it to your friends and neighbors and family and in-laws and your mother-in-law, and she might understand you then. So we have Mark Stevens in, Ventures in Legal Land. You go Mark, M-A-R-C, Stevens.net. Get all kinds of goodie and so on. Now, we're going to go through the next, rest of this hour with Mark. I'm not even going to stay longer. You got to go somewhere after this next hour?
No.
You're mine! Mine! We're going 3 hours. You know, the thing is, Mark, I can go on and on and on. And I'll get mine out, and I'll make a pinky swear Mark gets to talk to. this is what we're going to do. This is a plan. I'm going to go ahead and finish a couple more paragraphs of this 1994 article that I wrote to kind of get the idea that even back then as a young man, but being like, imagine me one of these young revolutionaries. You know, he actually, you know, talked to a lot of people, actually read something, you know, been kind of got it, all right? But I knew I'm swimming upstream. I mean, it's about timing. It's about taking advantage of opportunities to educate people. It's about freeing minds, you know, creating a foundation that became the Lovelution, that became the Western Libertarian Life, became the L Factor, became Freedom's Phoenix, became Declare Your Independence, you know, was Ernest Hancock, that became Safe, Second Amendment is for Everyone, that became all the stuff that we do all the time, is had its genesis back in the mid-90s. You know, we do all the lawsuits. If I've gone to the Ninth, I've argued before the Ninth Circuit as my own attorney. Yeah, I've been to Arizona State Supreme Court 3 times. I did. I did the court thing, man. I get it. And you know what? I didn't give a rip what the black robes said. I just wanted them to say it, which is kind of what Mark does. So what we're going to do is I'm going to finish this real quick, kind of get my gist and understanding. That's 15 years ago that I understood this. Then I'm going to play a little short clip. You know, it matters not. He is your king. And then we're going to go to Mark, and he's going to go ahead and give us what for. All right. I don't care whether it claims to be instituted by my consent or for the sake of my welfare, or as the product of some non-evident contract, or in response to the prospect of mass starvation, or for the protection of life, liberty, and property. None of that matters. It cannot be justified in reason. It has not been justified in reason in 4,000 years, despite all of the effort of all of the courts, of all of the despots, of all of the centuries, and the hand-waving of your next encounter with yet another electronic acolyte in the cult of the state will prove this yet again. Talking about voting. Government is not legitimate. You can tell by the effort people must go to make up rationalizations for it. Now, here's the dirty little secret. I said all their rationalizations are a veneer. All their happy babble is cover for what's really going on. If you don't submit, we'll shoot you. That's true. But to any proposition, there is a converse. The converse to the proposition in question is this. If they could compel you, they'd have no need to convince you. Okay? Now, Frederick Mann does a little postscript here. Frederick Mann was a gentleman that saw this email, and he put it up in this article, but he wanted to make a comment here. This is one of the central aspects of discovering that you are inherently free, free by nature. Through your ability to make decisions, you control the energy that animates your mind and body. The terrorocrats, terrorist bureaucrats, really cannot control or compel anyone. So they have to brainwash people, program them like robots to believe and obey. Above all, they must brainwash their victims into believing in the legitimacy of the terrorocrat system. So he's getting it. And then I go on to say, if dumb savagery were all it took, statists would have it made. They could simply announce, do it our way or we'll smoke you. We have an army. And that would be that. We'd be wandering around in loincloths carrying digging sticks. But they don't say that. Governments throughout human history have employed a procession of yes men long enough to circle the moon, a plethora of prime ministers, a Rick of Rasputins, a court of courtesans. Why bother with all that when all it takes is weaponry? If militaries were enough, we'd have no emperors and no presidents. And if simple brutality were enough, we'd have no militaries. Write this in your notebooks. They do not seek dominion. They seek legitimacy. That is the shortcut to everything. That is why all of my, and there's more, goes on, but that's the highlight of this thing. That was the whole point I was building up when I was expressing myself in this email response to somebody that's going on about social contract and constitution and all that kind of stuff. I knew it was a con from the beginning. I could get it. I understood. The Constitution was insulated from the Declaration of Independence by the Articles of Confederation. Hamilton wanted it so he could have more control. You know, the Declaration of Independence has nothing to do with the Constitution. You know, are they violating your rights? What did they do to the Constitution? You know, it's all about, you know, regulating commerce and eminent domain and taxation. I'm going, oh, there's freedom for you, you know. So I'm going, what the heck, man? As a young man, I could see what was going on. They don't seek dominion. They seek legitimacy. Because if they can get that legitimacy thing, that you know, consent of the governed kind of deal, you know, if they can get that, all the rest of it's done. So what is Mark doing? You know, what is it that we have to deal with? Listen to this short clip.
William Wallace, you stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him.
It matters not. He is your king.
It matters not. He is your king. And what if I undo my allegiance? They got me at 6 years old pledging allegiance in first grade. You know, does that compel me? You know, am I now, am I pledged in? Can I get out? You know, I'm just going, oh, so attacking the legitimacy. That's why I do all the stuff I do. That is why I do it. The way I do it. It is to attack the legitimacy. And that's why I love Mark Stevens so much. MARCStevens.net. All right. Give me your spiel, man. That's a good setup for you. This No State Project. It's all you.
Wow. I thought we were going to. Okay. Well, what I was mentioning before, going in and destroying the perception of legitimacy and why they couldn't answer yes or no if there was evidence of a complaining party, because you're going at the heart of what the state is. And what we spoke about was a citizen is a member of the body politic, owing a duty of allegiance and all that. And we saw that none of the duties exist, whether it's the duty to protect or the duty of allegiance. So you don't have a citizen. Yeah, the idea of a citizen is just ridiculous. And so if you don't have any citizens, you don't have a body politic. If you don't have a body politic, you don't have any state. There is no state. And so that's how that crumbles on its own. And it's been very effective going into court to do that. Just attacking that. I mean, imagine asking a police officer whose whole charge, if you will, is based on your presence within the state, and asking him directly, and this is a very quick way to get him impeached, by the way, which just means he's not competent to testify against you, asking him factually, what is the state? Now, if they allow him to answer, you get that blank stare, and he'll probably say, I don't know. Now, think about it. His entire case, if you will, hinges on presence within the state, and the chief witness can't tell you what the state is factually.
And what kind of lights go off, if any, for people in the audience? I mean, do they even understand what you're doing?
Some people, you know, think that, you know, I would say most people understand there's something very, very unusual going on here. Why won't the cop just answer the question? Because at least 90% of the time or more, they don't allow the police officer to answer this question. And it doesn't matter if it's a civil traffic or it's criminal traffic or in a drug case, ticket. Why won't they just answer the question? They can't, you know, because they're really not, I think most people are not thinking on a deeper level there. factually what
you
is
know,
the state.
You know, I'm going to give you an example. We had 4409, a videographer here that does a lot of stuff. He was arrested for, because he wouldn't give his ID. He was photographing a camera fraud thing, and the cop's like, you know, give me your ID. And five charges, you know, come out of it. It goes to court. Mark Victor's in court. He's doing it, you know, for short money or for free or something, just because, man, it was a good case, okay? Was it a Rule 20? They just dismiss everything, or 21 or whatever it is. They just didn't even have to put on a defense. But what happened was, is the officer, Mark goes to the officer and he goes, so you just ask everybody for their ID? Is that just a blanket? Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, common practice. I just, you know, everybody, I'm a cop, give me your ID. Well, the state law says you can't do that. You're not committing a crime or expecting to commit a crime or anything. You can't, you know, you get that privacy thing. And he's going, yeah, but I do it anyway. Yeah, but you know that's illegal, you know, or at least legal for them to refuse you. Yeah, but I do it anyway. I mean, you know, I'm going, and proud of it, too. You know, where's my extra stripe? I said what I was supposed to. I'm a good cop because I'm violating in favor of the state. This is the mentality that they have, and they will have, until we continue to challenge it. That's what we're doing. Yep, it's all Mark when we come back. Pinky swear. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Mark Stevens in just a little bit.
I got to repeat that part again.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie. Headlong down the highway and you're rushing headlong out of control. And you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping and you can't stop rocking. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, at least this week we can. You know, one of the one things that, you know, it's I want to make sure that we point out is that dissent. You know, dissent is a powerful thing. I mean, are we allowed to even complain? You know, and then they're starting to get to the point now. You got your government internet token. You think I'm kidding, man? They're coming. You know, they do not want you to come. You know, why do you think they got the media blackout on the Gulf Coast? You know, you got citizen journalists going out there complaining. Let me tell you what's going to happen. It's one thing I'm kind of, you know, if we don't start getting some news and getting some really what's going on, I may make a project out of going. You know, I was talking to Gary Franchi about it. You know, we may just, you know, put our projects on hold for a little bit, take a week, and we're going to go to Gulf. You know, I got some friends and family, and there's all kinds of people we have on the coast. You know, we're going, heck, even Heidi Byrick from Southern Poverty Law Center yesterday, she's living on the Gulf. And I'm like, yeah, what do you think about that? The government keeping the First Amendment, being able to report it? What do you think about that with Obama, huh? What do you think, huh? Okay. It wouldn't be prudent at this juncture to answer your question. Yes, these guys, legitimacy? Oh, I don't think so. So go ahead and finish your thoughts. I want to get to this no state project thing, but I did want to hear what you had to say about, you know, the responses of the judges and so on as you go down this, you know, prove the state thing. I mean, they got to get them thinking. I mean, what's their responses?
Well, these are the guys that you need to ask these questions to if you're in court, and you can get a parking ticket to challenge because you're not going to go to jail. Usually on something like that. But that's where you get a lot more credibility, because I don't know about you, but I don't get much credibility from the average person when I talk about these things. But the judge does. And so the idea, like we mentioned before, that the citizen is a member of the body politic owing allegiance in return for protection, the fact that they have no duty to protect you, and we can show that just with the non-aggression principle, the fact that they don't deal with us on a mutually voluntary basis, no duty could arise anyway. So that ends that. And so because there is no citizen, there is no body politic, of course, there is no state. And when you take this into court and you ask a judge or a prosecutor this, basically you asking a judge, for example, or a prosecutor who, if he has any evidence of a client, which is supposed to be the state. And it's amazing. You have to, it's kind of surreal. You have to be there, because for you and I, we get this. We understand. But for the average person who's not aware of this stuff, it seems pretty obvious. Look, you're sitting right here. We're in the state now. And that, you know, no, because it's supposed to be a body politic. And one of the ways I go about showing that is just asking, look, Mr. Prosecutor, do you represent the ground? Well, no, it's more than that. Well, yeah, that's the more than that that I'm focused on. That's where we come into the problem.
I know the response.
It matters not. He is your king.
What would the response be?
That matters not. He is your king. I mean, you know, I get it.
Well, this is why when I go in, I always, and in my scripts it has this, I don't want to be seen as combatant, and man, I'm not here to fight you. I want to plead no contest, and I just want to pay the fine. I have a couple questions, though, and so before they can take a plea of guilty or not guilty, they have to question you. They have to make sure that it's voluntary and intelligent. So this, by going in to plead no contest or guilty, which has to be signed, it disarms them psychologically. Oh, you're just going to pay. Fantastic. Great. What are your questions? And so it starts off really easy, Ernie. Well, am I entitled to a fair trial? Well, they're going to say, well, yes, of course you do. Oh, okay. Nah. Then, all right, well, can I get a fair trial, sir, if there's a conflict of interest? And they're going to say, well, no, of course not. That's just the beauty of the system because they're independent.
Well, then their response is what? You know, okay, we get it, we understand, or is it just...
It matters not. He is your king.
I mean, you know, I can see they can do that all the time. We got
it
guns.
It matters not. It matters not. It matters not.
You know, I get it. You know, they got the guns, man.
Well, follow me here. Now, up to this point, I've got his trust. He thinks I'm just going to plead no contest and pay. But all I was doing was disarming him so I could ask the question. Now, remember, I'm not the legal expert. He is. I'm taking advantage of this. This is perception. We talk about that a lot in a previous show. It's about perception. And he's got to make it look good. Great. Now, then I ask him who he represents. You see, most of the time he's not going to answer because he's a little smarter than that. But sometimes, Ernie, they actually answer the question. And it's this familiar phrase, the state.
Okay, and then you're back in the loop again.
Well, no, now you've really got him. Because now you look all, you want to be very professional about this and come off like a Columbo. I like to use Columbo, a fellow guinea. Wait a minute, I'm a little confused now, I'm not an attorney. Very confused, because the people behind me, they don't get it yet either. Remember, perception. The paperwork here says that it's the state versus Mark Stevens. And you're telling me you represent the state. That would mean you represent a party to these proceedings. Now, I don't threaten or make an accusation.
Do we got a conflict of interest here somewhere?
I just ask him. Since you represent a party to this proceeding, would that be a conflict of interest? And then I just, I'll wait. Don't make the accusation because you're going to lose. He'll just say no. Put the burden on this guy.
So what does he say? Generally you have, let's say you got 10 judges, you ask that you get to that point. You know, what's the percentage of who says what?
Well, I would say 75-80% of the time they absolutely refuse to answer the question, which now puts his partiality at risk, at issue, and opens him up for a motion to disqualify. To get it away from this lunatic. And you can get it before another lunatic.
So there's 75% lunatics.
Where you get it before somebody else, chances are it'll probably just be thrown out. And there are ways that they go about, doing continuances and letting it go until they have to throw it out for failure to provide a speedy trial. When they do answer the question, most of the time it does go away. You're in front of a room full of people and they don't want this. They don't want to debate this.
They go, good point, dismissed. I mean, what?
Yeah, they may not say good point, but they'll throw it out. They'll say, we don't have time for this.
You know, one thing that I really, it was like an epiphany for me. You know, it was like recently, within the last few months or something, I started to remember when I was a kid, you heard this phrase, prevailing opinion. You remember that?
You
say, well, prevailing opinion, prevailing from what? Against what? What's prevailing? Because CBS News said so? I mean, how's it? And then a friend of mine, he always uses consensus reality. You know, if everybody says the world's flat, guess what? It's flat, as far as they're concerned. So he's like, consensus reality, prevailing opinion. These are the kinds of concepts that what we're attacking. We're going after everybody that is thinking a certain way. That is the reality that we're dealing with because everybody's thinking that way. What happens if you challenge their thinking? What happens when you change the culture through thought? What happens when you do it? What happens? I don't know, but I'm willing to find out, okay? That's where I'm at. So tell me how much progress in doing this you've made, because I know sooner or later we're going to get to the Snow State project.
Yes.
Thing, you know, so this is, I what kind of progress have you had and where? I mean, in the courts, have you changed lawyers' opinions and how they argue things, the people, the judges, the prosecutors? I mean, where have you had most of your impact?
I would say I've had four police officers that I know personally through personal contact that have quit the force. Now, that may not seem like a lot, but we don't know what kind of impact that had on their friends and coworkers. I also see that a lot of people come to the show as skeptics. Or they'll read the book and say, this is ridiculous. And going into court is a huge mind changer. When people have called and said, Mark, I had to keep from laughing because exactly how you laid it out in the book or on the show, that's what they said. And I had to see it for myself. So there's been a real convincer. And so among people, because the show has grown so much and I've dealt with so many more people, it has been around with skeptics who have bought the book or heard me. Because I've done more mainstream shows than I've done shows like yours. And I think it's been with the regular people who were skeptics, who had to see for themselves. And when you go into court and you ask a judge who he represents, or you ask a police officer to factually what the state is, and he can't tell you, and the ticket's thrown out, that's a big convincer for a lot of people.
Hopefully for them. I mean, you know, we're going to talk about changing the world.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Solutions. Hey, about it's a flash of light. That'll help. You know, some truth. Truth. Let's get some truth in there. We got Mark Stevens, M-A-R-C Stevens, STEVENS.net. MarkStevens.net. You found yourself in Huskow, got yourself pulled over, going before the man so they can get their tribute. You know, I mean, so they can get their monies from y'all. Because you know why. Because they can't. That's all. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. And you know what? They usually got fine hats and uniforms and shiny badges and clipboards with nice embossed paper and everything that says, you know what? This much money y'all's belongs to us now. That's how it works. And they always got the available what to back it up? The gun. You know, there's always a gun involved because they don't have legitimacy. They go, let me show you what our legitimacy is. And it says 45. That's what our legitimacy is. And you got to understand that. So what do you attack? Their gun? I mean, you're going after their gun? I mean, seriously, this is what you think you're going to do? You want to go up and, you know, throw your chest out and get pepper sprayed? You want to do it? You know, you attack their legitimacy. And that's what Mark's doing. That's what Mark and I have been doing for a long time. And who's still standing? Okay? Who's still doing this? How many times have you been attacked, Mark? Has the man come after you? They showed up at your door and said, hello. Has that happened to you?
Other than a census worker, not at the door, but I've had in traffic, and I have had the Bar Association here in Phoenix were kind enough to send me some letters, a number of...
Cool! Gotta tell me all about that, man. Come on, give me.
Oh, this, I had the Unauthorized Practice of Law Division of the Phoenix...
Bring your punk ass cells on. Man.
Yeah, the Arizona Bar Association, and they said that we want a cease and desist order signed, you must... See, I don't like that part. You know, I know you don't. You must sign. So automatically, I knew I'm not signing a damn thing. Nothing. So I had to sign a cease and desist order that I was not engaged in any activity defined as the practice of law within the state of Arizona. So I responded back for, you know, one or two sentences. Look, I'm a little confused here. I'm not an attorney. Help me out. Are you asking me to give you, another person, an opinion on the law? I'm really confused. And I sent it out. And let's say I sent it on Monday. I got a response on Wednesday. I mean, it was really fast. She must have mailed it on Tuesday for me to get it the
next
day.
Man, they were ready for you.
Oh, that is so. And so she said, we don't care if you want to do an opinion, a legal, or whatnot. Just sign the order. All right. So I went, and I can't recreate it off the top of my head, but it's a lot of legalese. I said, look, I don't understand. I'm really confused now. How do you expect me to do this without reading the law, interpreting the law, applying those, you know, the law to a certain set of facts, and then determining on my own that I may or may not be engaged in what's described as the practice of law within the state of Arizona, and then send you that opinion, another person. It sounds like you want me to do what you're asking me not to do.
All right, so what'd they say?
Well, I never heard back from them. Fran Johansson is actually the one. Fran Johansson's the one who heads that division. So about 2 years later, I hear back from someone else. And they said, our records indicate, you've heard this before, our records indicate that you are engaged in an activity that is regulated.
Blank, we got a blank box here that needs to be checked. Okay, I get it.
So I wrote back, and I didn't sign it again. This is the whole thing. Right? You need to correct your records. That's all I wrote. And it's been a couple of years since I heard back from that particular division of the State Bar.
You know, I tell you, you know, this happened a lot in the mid-90s. You would find someone that's an attorney that would just, you know, baffle you with BS. And, you know, I'm illegal. I'm on the bar. I'm, you know, respect my authority because I'm a clerk of or, you know, part of the judiciary branch of and I'm going to whatever. They never had anybody questioning them before. All of a sudden, people started questioning. Yeah, so who are you? Right, you know, this bloom is falling off the stem there, man. I mean, you know, I'm going, you know, just because you don't mean squat to me anymore, because you what? You challenge your legitimacy. As soon as you get that in the minds of the people, all of a sudden everything changes because they've always had the default. Yeah, but I got letterhead. So what? I got a freaking internet computer now. I've spit me out some nice pretty letterhead, you know, that before they actually had to have a graphic design guy go do it. I don't know how to, you know, and now it's like, yeah, push a button there. I got letterhead. Kiss my butt. You want journalism? You want credentials? Yeah, we print them out for Thomas over here on the board. He's like going, yeah, man, I got Freedom Speech credentials coming out my rear. I'm going, let me in. No, you can't. Really? We're going to have us a nice little conversation on the radio about it. You know, so this is, it's just all their legitimacy thing is starting to go away. So now we have the bar itself coming after you saying you're not allowed to be able to share your legal opinion, but we want you to send us a letter with your legal opinion about what your legal opinion is. And you're going, really?
Yeah. And so I just called them on it, called into question. And basically it was a long-winded way of calling their legitimacy into question. And that's what it comes down to.
But you wanted them to challenge, yeah? Let's go to court. Let's figure this out.
I don't want to go to court. I don't need to go to court. I do much, you know.
I wanted you to go to court, okay?
Well, for Ernie, I would go.
go ahead. Take Mark with you. I want to talk all about it, you know? Okay, I get it. Man, all right, fine. You teased me enough, man. No state project.
Well, this gets to what you were asking before.
See, you're not going
to
do it.
No, we're going to get to it. It's like, what's the impact? You know, how do we, you know, what are we doing with this? What's with this? How are we using this information? What kind of impact is it having on the world? You know, and to me, one of the evidences of that we're making an impact is I got an order for a book from Tasmania. I think that's as far as you can get from Mesa, Arizona, Ernie, okay, before you start coming back. You know, I've had people go in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and England and get similar results.
Because it's a legal concept. It's an understanding. It's a mindset. You know, it's not just, you know, lines on or ink on paper. It's a mindset.
Yeah.
Man,
and it's the same thing. They're pretending that they are legitimate, that they have a legitimate purpose of protecting property and whatnot. Okay, and all we do is show that that's not what they're doing, and we take the way they do business and their public relations, and we show the contradiction. I mean, it's why eventually, like we were speaking off air about emotional responses. It's why when I speak with the Franchise Tax Board, which I do an awful lot, which is unfortunate. I'd rather talk to you, where I will get them to admit that they will throw an assessment out. It's grounds, legitimate grounds to throw an assessment out if they agree there are no facts to base the assessment on. Then when I start asking them about the facts, which is calling, of course, the legitimacy into question, they come out and they'll say, we don't need evidence.
What do you mean?
That's what they'll tell me. They don't need evidence. I said, so at what point did you start lying to me?
Well, because they what? They show you they're 45? I mean, what are they saying?
Well, it's usually what they'll say is they don't need to have evidence. And so they'll say, well, we're not in court. At this point, we don't need evidence. Yeah, but you just told me a few minutes ago if there wasn't evidence now, then that would be, you know, enough, you know, grounds to vacate. Then they'll start getting into it. Instead of answering the question, what they'll say, I pay my taxes, so should you. So I had them actually say to me, Ernie, We have no evidence that your client's a taxpayer, but we feel he should be. And I got to tell you, there's no evidentiary value to your feelings as far as I know. We feel he should be. This is what they
How
give me.
How do you document these conversations?
Well, I use Skype on a computer and
in the courtroom.
Oh, in the courtroom? Well, this didn't happen in court, but in court it's usually being recorded already, and so you can buy the MP3. You know,
so when you got to get it, you go get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but a lot of the stuff that I have is not necessarily in court. It's, you know, like I have stuff on my website where, you know, just asking very simple questions where it'll come out they don't have any evidence. And again, it's like you said, you're attacking the premise that they have any legitimacy at all. That's where we talk about the facts. Because everything that they're doing is based on public relations. It's all based on the law. You know, it's all based on this nonsense. And what we're doing is we're getting them to – getting the, showing that the words that they use have no physical referent. Like citizen, if you actually examine it, there is no physical referent,
okay.
Just like state.
All right. So we've gone over this. You make your case. You've created a database. You create examples. You create experiences. You have MP3s or your radio shows. You got this foundation for a decade at least, okay? A decade. I get it. A decade. Come on, Mark, man. I'm like going on two decades, okay? And I'm telling you, okay, now what? I mean, you at a certain point, you're taking this and you're going, therefore. I mean, I haven't even got the therefore yet, okay? When we come back, in the next segment, we're coming up on a break here pretty quick. When we come back, I want to start getting into the now what. Because you and I have seen a lot of cycles of kind of, you know, the ebb and flow of challenging the state and different effectiveness of various different things, including, you know, Dr. Paul's run and the Love Illusion and the libertarian mindset. And all of a sudden we start getting libertarians on, you know, national television and we start having, you know, shows like this and yours and so on, starting to permeate the internet. The internet, libertarian as heck, just by its very design. You know, just, oh, I get to talk about freedom. Guess what? Freedom gets talked about. Hadn't been done anywhere else, you know, because you're not allowed to, you know. So I'm going, this is what I want to see the now what. When we come back with Mark Stevens, the now what. M-A-R-C, markstevens.net. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
By just understanding the truth. You know, what's the truth? I mean, if you understand the truth, and you know, a lot of people, they get frustrated, man. I mean, they are just, you know, they're lying. They're wrong. That cop got up there and he lied. The judge doesn't understand anything. Ah! I mean, they freak out. You know, I'm going, what, you didn't know that going in? What, you still believe? Well, how old are you, 40-something? You're still believing what they told you in junior high? I mean, come on, man. Where the heck have you been? So this is what we're doing, trying to walk you through this. And if we can, you know, put a chink in their armor, it has an enormous impact. It has an enormous impact on how a lot of people perceive the state. Because let me tell you what the biggest problem we have. Like Thomas is here. You know, he's a perfect example. He's wound up in a straitjacket in a Scottsdale jail cell, you know, because he's listened to my show years ago back in 2003. They don't shoot him? He's on there. I can't believe. And then, you know, he used to call in and we became friends and so on. And what happened was, you know, people, they get all worked up. You know, they're feeling, yeah, man, you know, I'm feeling good. Yeah, well, you know, and probably listen to one of your shows. You know, they get all worked up. And, well, I don't respect your authority. Boom. Down on the ground. You get the left jackboot or the right jackboot or the jackboot on your throat party. And they're going, oh, yes, and boss, we got guns. Let me show you. Man, you don't fight the man that way. You know, don't beg for it. You know, you just ask questions. You go, hey, man, I was just wondering. You know, just, you know, peace be upon thee, brother. And I was just wondering if you could answer this question for me. well, what's the legitimacy of your existence? So this is, and you do something like that, and they just freak. So we're getting to the point, you have all this understanding, and we're getting to the point that the people are starting to go, what? Are they questioning the whole existence of this, and what would they have in place of it?
Well, if there's a robber in your house, you don't replace him. You just get rid of it.
Oh,
I know.
Do I get to vote none? You know, that was the one thing with Bob Schultz, you know, the Continental Congress thing. Bob, good guy, came here, had a full house here at the studios. I mean, he spoke, we had that platform that you see the video desk is on. Right. That whole thing moves on wheels, okay? We take it, we put it out there, had a big crowd, man, did it up. Had his Continental Congress people there, he's making his case. I'm sitting in the back of the room, and you just go on, go for it, man, I don't care. You know, knock yourself out. But he's like, Ernie, I need you to go to Jekyll Island. We got to go to Jekyll Island. I need you to go. He's really hammering on me to go. So I'm going, nah. It was like a Wednesday before that weekend. I find, okay, I'll go. But under one condition, that I get to vote none of the above. I even did a video thing before I left. I said, look, let me tell you very clear. Because immediately after that day, Wednesday, after I, you know, said, okay, I'll go under these conditions, boom, he does a thing. Oh, well, this is how you're going to speak. You get to do 5 minutes on this in support of that. It was all a manufactured teaser for the Continental Congress. And I'm going, ah, I see what you're doing. And I got there, and Adam Kokesh and I both, the only ones that wouldn't sign on their thing, rededicating their life, liberty, fortunes, all that kind of stuff to reconstitute the Constitution that screwed us to begin with, okay? Or at least didn't prevent it. And as Lysander Spooner thing, hey, right. If it didn't cause it, sure as heck didn't stop it, okay? So the thing is I'm going, look, Bob, I want to make sure you understand, I'm here for one reason, to see if I get to vote none. Are you going to, you know, I must have, you know, fascist system A or communist system B or this kind of, you know, so, you know, got this legitimacy of government for whatever. I go, do I get to vote none? I just want to know whether I do that or not. It's not even the point. Do I have none of the above as an option? You know, can I go back to Articles of Confederation at least? Do I got to pick whatever this Articles of Freedom thing that you come in, reconstituting the country under what got us here to begin with? You know, well, yeah, you know, that's what I thought, okay? So I want to, at least the option to say none. Can I vote none? That doesn't necessarily mean that's what I'll do, but I just want the option. No. So I'm going, you know, this is where we're at, Mark. I mean, you know, you're saying, now, not only do you want the option to vote none, you want to vote none. So tell me about that. What does that mean?
Well, I don't believe in a political process. I mean, I know that you do it. You were doing it just to get the word out. I don't believe in a political and using a political process. You know, you look at the track record, and it's been pretty dismal. I mean, if voting for freedom worked, they'd make it illegal.
Yeah, I haven't voted since 2002, man.
Oh, you were still voting in 2002? Gosh, after what I just heard you?
I know.
Oh, man.
You know, I tell you in 2002, I you usually have a to-do list. You know, like today I need to, you know, put the cat out or whatever. You know, I need to go pick up a gallon of milk, Mom said, whatever. You got that list. And when you check off your to-do list, you're going, you know, I accomplished something. I feel good. You know, I checked off one more box. Vote today, and I felt worse after doing it. I knew I was deluding myself. I knew I was like, because I knew the system was, I mean, I know, you know, I'm finally, even after 06, we got them to do manual validation because I did the still voting campaign, you know, right. In 06. You know, I'm running for Secretary of State and I'm not voting. I'm advocating. Are you sure you still voting? I mean, come on, man. You haven't got it yet. I'd love to talk. You don't even vote. Yep, I'd love to talk about it. Bring the press on. And they go, yeah, we don't want to talk to Ernie about that. You know, they'll go up. They won't even mention it. They go, because it questions what?
Legitimacy.
Their legitimacy. You always say, but you had a chance to vote. Really? Did I? Really?
Really?
Seriously? So, you know, this is the kind of, you know, and everybody, a lot of people except you, don't understand why I do that. It's to question the legitimacy. Because the only thing they go, well, you had a chance to vote. Did I? On a paperless touch screen? You know, here, you want to recount? Let me push the button. Yep, it says the same thing.
There you go.
You know, I'm going, you know, don't even start with me. So, yeah, so I was a slacker until after 2002. So you're advocating none, meaning what? We're left with what?
Well, we have education and we have civil disobedience. And, you know, they go hand in hand. And this is one of the things that we do with the show, which we're getting more and more people to be able to participate in civil disobedience. And this is not initiating physical violence. It's being the means being consistent with the end, and the end being a voluntary, peaceful society. So the means always have to be consistent with the ends.
Evolution.
Yes, or an evolution, like they talk about with the CD Evolution Fund. I think it's cdevolution.org, where you know to raise money to help people who, through civil disobedience, peaceful civil disobedience, do get pinched by the man, and so they have some kind of fund available to help them. Get out.
Oh, that's what that was at Porkfest. That's what that's about.
Right. That was at Porkfest. Okay. And so I think that's a great idea. And one of the things that really gets me about the whole thing, not that the Free State Project is, most of the people that I met at Porkfest, I'm sure maybe you'll agree, were not minarchists. These people did not want to use the political process. They were voluntarist or agorist or whatever, anarchist, whatever you want to say, normal people. And they did not want to use the political process as far as voting to bring about a voluntary society.
You know, I tell you, we're... All right, let me give you the spiel on this, and they'll probably explain for you in the audience. When the Free State Project was first conceptualized, it was a guy that was doing a paper at Yale, I think it was, and he came up with this concept. If freedom-oriented, libertarian-type people were to congregate in any one particular area, they could politically dominate that area and make it whatever. We're gonna wear the ring, okay? We'll put the ring on. We'll get behind the lever of power, and gosh darn it, you know, through me, I would do, you know, good, okay? Well, you know, the whole thing was is that when he did this, you know, I really, there's no better way to explain it than this.
Take it.
No, sir, no.
You must take it.
You cannot offer me this ring.
I'm giving it to you.
Don't tempt me, Frodo. I dare not take it. Not even to keep it safe. Understand, Frodo. I would use this ring from a desire to do good. But through me, it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
But it cannot stay in the Shire.
No. No, it can't.
What must I do?
Get rid of the ring, okay? Chuck it in the fires of Mordor. Be done with it. But what happened was, is there was the idea that they thought using the political process, they would do the Free State Project. And it came, are we going to do Wyoming? Are we going to do New Hampshire? And the question wasn't where we were going to do it. It should have been whether you should have done it at all. So whatever, they want to do that, fine. So in 04, whatever, whenever they did this, we did our only Freedom Summit that we've ever done outside of Arizona. We did it in Manchester, New Hampshire, kind of, you know, support them and bring freedom movement attention to and go and whatever. When they selected it, first question I asked, the day that they did it, that next morning, I'm on my radio show and talk to Amanda Phillips, and I go like this, and she's a very smart woman that was part of this, and I said, so, get in the clubhouse, going to have membership, got a list, going to run for office, you know, how's this going to work? Well, of course, that was their idea. We're going to have our collective, okay? You put an L after a collective, it's still a collective. So what happened is they were of the idea. You get their shirts and sure, I will use all practical means at my disposal to bring about blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, they decide what that is. Liberty Forum was June. In June, it had Judge Napolitano was there. Bumper Hornberger and myself were the only three that spoke to the whole group. And they had a bunch of breakouts and so on. Their concept is that we need to run for office and consolidate power so that we can get power. The Free State Project also kind of is part of doing what you saw Porkfest, which is a campout thing in northern on the border with Canada. That is a whole nother kind of more anarchist type. Now, you had the anarchists still at the Liberty Forum, but these competing ideologies is kind of like, you know, are we going to use the system or not use the system, has been going head-to-head for years. What you saw was the other side of it. Liberty Forum was a little bit more going to use the voting part. What you saw at Porkfest was the other side. When we come back, we'll talk about that, because this is an interesting dichotomy. We'll be right back.